Mark 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, and knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. That's the New Testament word, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Now God will bless this reading of his holy word. Nightly, we are seeking to impress upon every heart three matters about our subject. And our subject is salvation. Now the three matters are very simple. One that we have been stressing nightly and will continue to do so is this: the necessity of salvation. That this is not something optional, but this is something that is absolutely essential for every soul that intends to be in heaven. The necessity of salvation. Then we shall be seeking to make it clear, as we have done, a second note. It's this: the reality of salvation. That's not joining a church, or accepting a creed, or taking communion, or any of these things. The reality of salvation is this: it's an experience of Christ that brings into the heart peace with regard to sin, power that breaks the chain of sin, and it unfolds a prospect assured of being in heaven. It's a real thing. It's the reality of salvation. Then the third note we try consistently to strike is this: not only the necessity of it and the reality of it, but we seek to stress the urgency of it. That it's a matter that ought to be faced now, immediately, without delay, without hesitation, and it's now that the opportunity is offered so that the soul can enter and experience and enjoy this great thing that God has provided. It's God's salvation. Now, in order to bring home these various truths tonight, I'm going to use the illustration of this woman of whom we have read. Remember, please, it's an illustration. And it's an illustration that unfolds the necessity, the reality, and the urgency in connection with salvation. If I was putting a title on my message tonight, I would like to put this title: Four Unforgettable Moments. Four unforgettable moments. Moments that this woman, of whom we have read, would never, never, never forget. And you know, that answers to what happens when God saves a soul. It leaves impressions on the heart and on the mind that are indelible and will be throughout eternity. Now, let me take you quickly to the first unforgettable moment. I'm going to put a title on it and call it this: the moment of discovery. The moment of discovery. Now you just put yourself in the position of this dear woman of the story. And you think for a moment, what must have filled her mind when one day, one morning, she discovered, my body is touched with disease. Maybe signs had been there, the symptoms maybe had been occurring for various months, I don't know. But there's one moment, maybe when the physician looked into her face and told her, your body is touched with disease. Now you can understand the impact of that, can't you? You can understand what it means when the doctor looks into your face today. May it never happen. But doctors have that responsibility to look into the face of many a dear patient and tell them, the tests are done, the results are positive, and I'm afraid you've got cancer. I'm only using that as an illustration. You can understand what it means. All life's program is suddenly upset. All life's pleasures, the joys taken out of them. And into the mind there comes a touch of reality. My, this very thing that we feel. We knew it in others. We have heard about it touching others, but now it's touched me. You can see the moment, the woman in a moment of discovery. I've got this disease. But let me lift that picture, please. The disease that she had was bad. Cancer is bad. But I want to tell you tonight of a disease with which the soul is touched that's worse than cancer. That's sin. Have you ever made the discovery that before God that you're a sinner? Oh, you say, I've always known. Sure, I say it every weekend. We're all sinners. That's not what I mean. Oh, yes, you would say, I confess right enough. I have done certain things and I regret it and I'm sorry. Yes, I'm a sinner. That's not what I mean. I mean it's to understand what God means when he calls me a sinner. Look at that woman's disease. It was debilitating, draining. Every day, her blood was draining away. She was getting weaker and weaker and weaker. That's what sin does. You boys and girls, make sure you get saved early in life. Sin weakened, sin drained. But second, that which that woman was touched defiled her in home. She couldn't go into the synagogue. All that she touched was reckoned unclean, and do you know what that meant for a sensitive woman? She would try to hide and keep away from public gaze because sin was defiling. Her disease was defiling. That's nothing to the defilement of sin. That's nothing to what God sees as he looks into my heart and sees sin there. You know, over the gates of the city bright, whose gates are closed to sin, do you know what it says? Not the defiler shall ever enter therein. I'm defiled by sin in heart and hand and home. Before God, I'm a sinner. But there's another note. Not only debilitating, not only was it defiling, but that woman had a disease that she knew would end in death. It was deadly. But I want to tell you of something that's worse than the disease that she had. Worse than cancer,
Because cancer will end at the graveside with a physical body. But the disease of sin will take me out into the darkness of eternal night. My heart trembled.
Do you ever sit down for a moment or two and think what it would mean to leave Earth's shore, bid farewell to Earth's friend, then move on into an eternity, find oneself in hell? Why, the very thought makes the heart to tremble. If I could get near to you tonight, dear soul, I would pour into your ear, be careful. You're touched with a deadly disease. Every human being is touched with it by nature. It comes out in the practice. It's debilitating. It's defiling. Yes, it's deadly. That disease is sin. Have you discovered it yet? Sir James Simpson, the great Edinburgh physician, was about to retire from the Edinburgh Infirmary. A press conference was called. The press men gathered around Sir James and put questions to him. One press man asked Sir James Simpson, "Tell me, Sir James, what do you reckon is your greatest discovery?" Everyone expected him, of course, to say chloroform. But Sir James Simpson looked that press man in the eye. He said, "My greatest discovery was this, that I was a sinner. A sinner. Oh, soul, tonight, if that word sinner were to grip the heart, what it means, you wouldn't sleep tonight. You would tremble in your sin. That word sinner carries with it the very connotations of judgment. And oh, to understand that I am the sinner, please don't hide behind others. Say there are many other sinners. What about allowing the word of God tonight to single you out in this meeting and the finger of divine righteousness to point at you and say, you, sinner." That would be a big discovery. You made it yet? But I want you to think of a second moment. 12 years run their course. 12 long, weary years. What's the woman doing? She's doing her very best to deal with this disease. She's putting her trust in men. She goes along to this beautiful surgery. And outside the beautiful nameplate and letters, Doctor Religion. That's a good doctor, isn't it? No, she'll go in there. And he'll tell her, pray a little bit. Read your Bible a bit more. Pay to your church. A little bit of penance, do the best you can. What more can God expect? But it didn't work. It didn't work. Maybe she tried the next one. Doctor Reformation. Change your habits. Change your way of going. Leave off the drink. Forget about the cigarettes. A list of do's and don'ts, you'll feel a bit better. I'm drawing a picture. Here's a woman with a nerve. She went to various men. She put her hand in her pocket and she spent all that she had. Spent all that she had. She was absolutely sincere, absolutely earnest, and seeking a cure for that which touched her very inward, and yet she comes to this point. I call it the moment of despair. The money was done. And the record nothing better. You just got worse. Ever find anybody there? Do you ever find a soul concerned about their sin and they want peace with God? Doctor, religion, prayer, penance, pilgrimage, hold it. Know what the Bible said? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. That cuts me down. That leaves me in dire need. Doctor, Reformation, that list of which I told you, do's and don'ts, behave yourself, turn over the new leaf. Soul says, I try it. I'm off the drink. I'm away from the drugs. I'm away. Just a minute. Many have tried it. And it doesn't deal with the root cause. It effects no cure. Religion, Reformation. Somebody says, but now, Dr. Relaxation, you're getting a bit fanatical. You've been listening to those people preaching down in the gospel hall there. Now, if you just calm down and take a few sedatives and don't worry about that kind of thing, you'll be all right. Just put them to sleep. It's a good doctor, isn't he? He's not prepared to deal with the problem. I suggest to your heart, soul, that nothing better, rather grew worse. John Wesley, young man who joined was one of the founder members of the Holy Club at Oxford. Up at 4 o'clock in the morning to read his Bible, to study and to pray. Went into the Anglican ministry, preached throughout England. Took the gospel to North Africa to preach to the Indian. Came back. He writes in his journal, no man ever asked me, was I born again? Religion doesn't say. Sincerity doesn't say. John Wesley got saved at a little prayer meeting in Aldersgate in London, as one read from Galatians chapter 2. The Son of God, to love me, gave himself for me. Unfolded to Wesley's heart was the person of Christ, the provision he made. In his own language he said, the heart was strangely warm. My, that was a different doctor. That was the great physician. A moment of despair. You ever been there? I have been there. I tried the doctors. I tried another one. I tried doctor profession. Professed to be saved. Was baptized. Broke bread. But no Christ. No Savior. Was that not enough? That wasn't enough. I had never learned that out before God I was a helpless sinner. Unless God saved me, I would be in hell. In the lake of fire throughout eternity. Moment of despair. Can't save yourself? Maybe you think you can. Maybe you think if you strove a little bit harder, if you prayed a little bit better. My friend, tonight I want you to show you there's only one who can save you. That's Christ. But I'm coming to the third moment. Moment of discovery. Moment of despair. Moment of decision. I like this. Suddenly, as that woman, as at the point of despair, she had nothing left. She was worse than when she started. Then across her mind, what are you? There comes a message. When she had heard of Jesus. My, I love that. When she had heard of Jesus. I wonder what she heard.
Did she hear that he dealt with the leper and dispelled the darkness, defilement? Did she hear that he had dealt with the blind man and dispelled the darkness? Did she hear that he dealt with the disabled man and moved the disablement? Did there rise within her heart a little thought that maybe he could deal with me? Maybe he could deal with me. This person of whom she heard, this preaching that maybe she had listened to, came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And she would say, that's me. That's the person I must get to. What did she do? Can't you see it? She's decided. Decided. I use that word deliberately. She decided, I'm going to get to that person. There's nobody going to stop me. And I'm going to get to Christ. And I'm going to have this matter settled. This deadly disease. No crowd is going to stop me. Nothing's going to get in my way. You can see her with that look of determination on her face. She's pushing her way through the crowd. You can see her stretch out that hand and she said, if I could only touch him. If I could only touch him. And she grasps. Is it Luke that tells us the hem of his garment? She just grasps. Moment of decision. 5th of August, 1946. Young man was working on his father's business. I finished the particular run that I was to do with the big van. I remember at the last customer, this young man took the back doors of that van and slammed them, jumped into the driving seat and started off for home. Around one particular bend, I could take you to the bend in the road. As I pulled that big van round the bend, I said, if God spares me till I'm home, the matter of my salvation will be settled tonight. If there's a Savior, I'm going to find him. That didn't save me. No decision saves anybody. The only decision that you've got to make is this, that I'm a lost sinner. But oh, that decision, everything else is to be set to the one side. I'm going to find Christ. Needy soul tonight, if you reach that point in this meeting, you could be saved before the meeting's over. If you had settled in your heart that you needed the Savior, and that you wanted him above all else, and that you were going to come to him, the matter could be settled before I finished speaking. It's as close as that. Before that, that was about 5 o'clock on a Monday night. Before I went to sleep that night, I knew my sin forgiven. I knew peace with God. I knew my soul was saved. The great matter was settled. Decision. Oh, soul, tonight face the reality of it. There is a Savior. There's one who bled and died for sinners on Calvary's cross. And he waits and he watches and he works that you could be drawn to him. Tonight you have heard of him. Do you want him? You reach that point, I'm going to get saved. It's the most important thing. I would look quickly at the last moment. A moment of discovery. A moment of despair. A moment of decision. And oh, this is important, the moment of deliverance. The moment of deliverance. Through the crowd she came. Drawn to his person, she put her hand through. Grasped his garment. And immediately, her work was done. A work was done. If I could tonight present to you the Savior that God sets before you, the one who died for sinners, that one who died for the ungodly. If I could point you to his person, if I could point you to his pain, if I could tell you in clearest language that there he became the sin bearer, he endured the sentence for the guilt of man. Because of that, he can clear sin's past, he can deal with sin's power, he can remove sin's penalty, because he bore it. And the tax, the grass, he that believeth on the Son. That answers to this grasp of faith. He that believeth on the Son. Not about him, but on him. That's the hand going out to grasp him. It's the hand that touches. His work is sufficient. His work is sufficient for you. You could be saved tonight. On the principle of faith, as this woman was, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But wait now. That's context. But wait. Why does the Lord not allow that woman to slip away into the crowd and be lost in the crowd? Oh, he doesn't do that. You know what would happen? That woman would have gone away. Then the next morning she would have wondered, oh, did I really imagine that happening? Was it all real? Was it not a little bit of feeling? Will I get this trouble back again? Will it come back? Will it return? Oh, the Lord didn't do a work half like that. He brought her out. There before him, she acknowledged her need. And he said, thy faith has saved thee. Go into peace. Thy faith has made thee whole. What's it mean? You might meet that woman going away from the Savior and say to her, your disease is cured, healed, yet. How do you know? How can you be sure? Sure, it's only imagination. It'll likely come back tomorrow. She would say, listen, that man there, he told me. He told me I was saved. My faith had saved me. I'm sure I have his word for it. I have his word for it. That would stabilize the heart. That would strengthen the very soul. She'd be absolutely sure. Now we point you to the work of Christ. Christ died for sinners. That makes us saved. But you say, how can you be so sure that your sin's forgiven? I have the word of God. That word makes me sure. And the word says this, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I'm simple enough to believe God. And every doubt flee. Every difficulty melts away. He died for sinners. God says, whosoever believeth on him should not perish. Now drink of it. And I say, thank God, my soul saved. And I'm sure. The work of Christ, the word of God, that seals it for eternity. What about you? A moment of discovery, where are you? A moment of despair. Have you understood your need? A moment of decision. I'm going to find Christ and find him now. And a moment of deliverance. When you come to his person to trust him. Do you think a woman would ever forget? Not a bit of it. Do you think anybody can ever forget when they're saved? Not a bit of it. While the mind is whole, they are simply looking back. Thanking God for the moment they first came to the Savior. Will you trust him tonight?